I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 13. Those of you who find it very fast, I'll be reading a second text, Acts 13, verse 22. Excuse me. First Samuel chapter 13, verse number 14, where the Bible says, "But now," this is Samuel speaking to Saul, "now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him, a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." It's actually a word of judgment for Saul and a word of grace for David, who will follow. And then in Acts chapter 13, we have Paul using this Old Testament text and a couple other, it seems, a couple other texts. It's not said just like this in the Old Testament, but putting two and two together, here it is. "And when he had removed him," that is when the Lord had removed Saul, "he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." This being Father's Day, I'd like to use David as my illustration, and if you'll be patient, we'll read several different verses. And I'd like to preach on having a father's heart. Having a father's heart. You know, it's possible to have a father's position and not have a father's heart. I read a little cute story about Mother's Day, a husband had given his wife a special gift. It was an iron. So on Father's Day, she gave her comeback. She gave him the gift of an ironing board. I would say maybe neither appreciated their gifts. You know, our ministry is called PATHS, P-A-T-H-S. Years ago, I came up with this acrostic, preaching and teaching his salvation. Kathy says it means pressing all Tom Hayes shirts. I guess that'll work too. A father's heart. We know that by nature, that it's not in any of our hearts to be what God would have us to be. Jeremiah said the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God must work in our hearts. Now, David did not have a life of perfection. He had blemishes. He had marks against him. And yet God so worked in him, though he was not perfect, he possessed a heart that was truly a father's heart. We'll notice that Solomon brags on his father. And so let's look at several verses where something is said about David's heart. This is getting down to the root of the matter, as it said in the Bible, isn't it? The heart. The issue is not all my external involvements. The issue is the heart. I would say three things. I'll try to be brief with each one. I want to mention firstly, David had a heart for God's heart. We just read that in those two verses. He had a heart for God's heart. That must be a real father's heart. And then I notice there are a couple or three other verses that suggest he not only had a heart for God's heart, but he had a heart for God's honor. It is, his integrity is mentioned. His uprightness is referred to. And we're told that he followed the Lord with all his heart. He had a heart for God's heart. He had a heart for God's honor. And this one I have embraced for many years. He had a heart for God's house. He wanted to build the temple. And the Lord did not allow him to do that. But he said, since you've got a heart for it, I'm going to let your son Solomon build it for me. He had a heart for God's house. Now with those three simple thoughts, let's go back to 1 Samuel 13 and read that 14th verse again. Samuel said to Saul, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. That is, it's over, Saul. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. Now we know that to be David. And so I want to say here we're reminded of the Lord's concern for someone to have a heart for his heart. The suggestion is, it's not what I think, it's what God thinks. It's not how I feel, it's how God feels. It's not my will, as Jesus said in the garden, but thine be done. That's God's concern. Somebody says, well, that's selfish. It may be on our level, but it's not just selfish on God's level. It's pure. It's holy. He wants the honor and the praise of his people. And so we see the Lord's concern. And he revealed it to Samuel. Samuel said, the Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. Could I ask this morning, if God is concerned about a father's heart being of that nature, would he find it in you? Would he find it in me? A heart for God's heart. Then back to our New Testament text in Acts chapter 13, verse number 22. We not only have the Lord's concern for such a heart that is for God's own heart, but we see the Lord's confirmation about a heart that is for his heart. He confirmed, I found him. I sought for him. I found him. Here's the New Testament confirmation. He raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. He is set on pleasing me. His desire is one and the same with my desire. He's a man after mine own heart. Now I think we could mention a lot of things that fathers aspire to be. We certainly want to be as husbands all that our wife needs us to be. We want to be for our children all that they are in need of when it comes to a father. And in other roles, our jobs, the workplace, our neighborhood, providing for our own. Man's worse than an infidel, the Bible says, who will not provide for his family. So we're interested in all of that. But above all of those things, God grant us a heart for God's heart. Do you want what God wants? Are you interested in what God is interested in? It's being like Christ, isn't it? Who had a heart for his Father's heart. Then I want to go further this morning and say something about a father's heart, not only a heart for God's heart, but a heart for God's honor. Again, I'm jumping around a little. I want to begin in 1 Kings chapter 9. If you'd like to listen, that'll be fine. If you want to turn, that'll be exceptional. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse number 4. He's telling Solomon, who had just prayed what we call a dedicatory prayer. He said, I have heard thy prayer. Verse 4, and if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked in integrity of heart and upright in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. Now, the word integrity is an interesting term in this setting and in others in the Old Testament. The idea is you're not evil in your purpose. He said, if you will walk not in an evil purpose of heart and in uprightness, which indicates righteous living, a life that is in sync with the righteousness of God, uprightness, to do according to all that I've commanded thee and will keep my statutes and my judgments. And so I say that David's life was one of no evil purpose, brother. Now, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love does not have evil intentions. It doesn't keep books on everybody. My wife keeps the books for the store, the local store in our town. Supposedly the oldest grocery store in North Carolina. And you know, those books are supposed to balance every month. And she sends the report to the owner, the proprietor. And they better be balanced. I want to say that it's possible for things not to balance, not to come up where they ought to be in our lives. But David had no evil purposes. His love was not of evil intent. I did not write this verse down. Let me read it in your hearing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. You'll love this one. When I was a young preacher, I was trying to preach from these verses, and all of them have these ETH. Suffereth, envieth, vaunteth not. And then I got to puffed up, and I said, and puffeth not up. I didn't mean to do it, but it just sort of come out. Verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Somebody said, well, you may like her, but let me tell you a few things. In other words, let me get out my books. Let me show you what I've got in my books. Or, he's a pretty good fella, but hold on. Let me get out my book. I want you to see this. I've got the date. I've got the time and the place. I want to say love and a heart for God's honor does not keep books on everybody. The truth is, we are to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. I say, David had a father's heart. It was a heart for God's heart. It was a heart for God's honor. His life was not of an evil purpose. There was integrity. Furthermore, his life was of no empty pursuit. You know this. I don't have to press this. Some folks take no responsibility. They just float. There's no real pursuit. They're empty in a measure. I would read another verse in 1 Kings chapter number 14. Verse number 8. This again is a word from God about the kingdom of Saul and so on, and David. And Solomon says, he rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it thee. And yet thou hast not been as my servant David. Here's the word from God. Who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart. To do that only which was right in mine eyes. He not only was a man after my own heart, but he did what was right in my own eyes. There was no empty pursuit. He didn't just come to church and go home, we might say. He didn't just listen to some gospel music and then turn it to some other terrible stuff. But he followed the Lord with all his heart. Could I ask you, in this day of no commitment, what is wrong with giving our all to God? David followed him with all his heart. Here's another verse, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 6. This brings us to our next emphasis. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse number 6. And Solomon said, thou hast showed, speaking to God, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And that thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. Notice again. He walked in uprightness of heart. He followed God righteously and candidly in his life. A father's heart like David is a heart for God's heart. A father's heart like David is a heart for God's honor. For God's honor. This little psalm came to me. One of the greatest blessings of my life was getting to teach through the Psalms, and I've preached through many of them. David said in Psalm 9, verse 1, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. With my whole heart. That's this matter of wholeness. Total. Complete yieldedness to God. Now, let me say about my last thought. I have preached everything I've preached so I can preach for the next 30. No, I promise. But I do want to magnify this third truth. I think this is needed in our day. He not only had a heart for God's heart and a heart for God's honor, but he had a heart for God's house. Of course, with him, it was building the temple. Would you go with me to 2 Samuel now? 2 Samuel chapter 7. Verses 1, 2, and 3. 2 Samuel 7 beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." And Nathan said to the king, "Go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee." Now before I read a few other verses here in this context, David's heart for God's house involved a deep desire. He did not think it right that he had a house and the Lord's presence did not have a place in which to reside. Living in curtains, that was his allusion to the tabernacle. Just in curtains, that's all God's got, it's a curtained environment. And Nathan said, "Well, you do what's in your heart." He said, "I want to build a house." And so he had a deep desire to honor God in building him a house. Now, you do not at this point need to build a new building. However, there's more to building God's house than our constructing a building. It's being built spiritually. It's being constructed in grace and developed in spiritual realities. We're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I say his deep desire was related to God's house. I wonder how our deep desires are when it comes to God's house. Do you really want this place to be a place of ministry, or do you just want it to be a place where you can come and do your Sunday morning dues or give your Sunday morning dues and go home? I say, beloved, that David had a deep desire in his heart for God's house. He did not look at the dwelling of God flippantly. He was serious about it. He had a heart for God's house. Of course, that was not only the deep desire, but that was the divine design. It wasn't God's plan for David to build the temple. However, look at these verses, verse number 4. "And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, 'Go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me a house of cedar? Now therefore, so thou shalt say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep to be ruler over my people over Israel, and I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house." Said, you wanting to build me a house. I plan to build you a house. Of course, he's referring to his progeny, his children, his children's children, his nation, and all that God had in mind for his people. I say that was a deep desire in David's heart. He had a heart for God's house, but beyond that, there was a divine design. God may not allow you to see everything that you desire to see in the Lord's work. God may never allow me to see all the things I'd like to see in the Lord's work. I just give reference to the books. It's in my heart to write, and down the road I see a lot of my books coming into print in my thinking. But what if God stopped it where it is? That would be His business, wouldn't it? I'm saying there's a divine design. He said, David, you're not going to build me a house, but I'm going to build you a house. I am going to add to you and your people. Let me read another verse in 1 Kings chapter 8. Again, we're bouncing. Thank you for bouncing with me. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 17. This is Solomon's words now. And it was in the heart of David, my father, to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. It was in his heart, Solomon said. And the Lord said unto David, my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build a house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build a house unto thy name. I thought yesterday, as I looked at all those young men in that wedding of my grandson Samuel, who knows how much longer I have in the ministry? I'd like to persecute the saints another 20 years if the Lord would let me. However, God may have someone that has a heart for God that he would raise up. And a heart, not only for God's heart, but a heart for God's honor. And a heart for God's house. Huh? Now, I'm actually more like my mother and my mother's family than I am my father and his family. I'm built more like my mother's family. My dad was slim and trim to his dying hour. And he fussed at me for gaining 2 pounds. Of course, he had some great idols in the ministry who weighed about 300. But he didn't want me gaining any weight. At any rate, God rest his soul. I'm more like my mother's people. However, there are some days when I'm shaving and looking in the mirror, I see my daddy. I went to a viewing not long ago. I couldn't go to the funeral, so I went to the viewing of a preacher friend of mine. And a woman said, when she saw me, I thought O.T. Hayes had come from the grave. Well, I think she needed glasses myself, but I appreciate your kindness. I see my father in the mirror some mornings. Oh, may others see our heavenly Father revealed in the mirror of our lives. God grant it to be so. David, as a father, as Solomon refers to it, had a heart for God's heart. He had a heart for God's honor. He had a heart for God's house. These are very simple principles, but weighty indeed. May God give each of us as fathers such a heart. Such a heart. You're standing with me. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. While we wait just a moment, and sing a number here at the end of the service. I've not come to try to get anybody in a headlock and drag you forward. I think you know that. I'm here to preach what's in my heart, try to obey God, and trust Him to put it in our hearts and in our lives. I wonder if there might be someone who'd say at the conclusion of this service, Brother Hayes, Brother Tom, preacher, I want to be remembered in this prayer. The Lord has reminded me this morning of the kind of father I need to be. I need to have a heart for God's heart and a heart for God's honor and glory and a heart for God's house and to back up everything that's going on here in the Lord's house. Please pray for me. Would there be someone this morning who would feel the need for prayer before we sing a verse or two of a song? Yes. There may be a mother who would say, Tom, I need that kind of a heart also. Please pray for me. While we wait a moment, God bless you, brother. Anyone else? While we wait, it's not a show of hands that is vitally important. It's an openness to God, a willingness to obey His voice that is of great concern. You may be here and you're not even a Christian. How can you have a heart for God until God works in your heart? If you're not a Christian this morning, this would be a good time for you to settle things with God. Cry out for mercy. Look to Jesus. He's the only Savior. Our Father, we give Thee thanks for these moments today. Oh Lord, I pray that Thy truth might be like seed planted in the good soil of our hearts. I pray that Thou wouldst give us a heart for Thine heart. Give us a heart for Thine honor and praise. Oh Lord, help us to walk in integrity and uprightness. Help us to follow Thee with all of our hearts. I pray that Thou wouldst give us a heart for Thine house, the work of the Lord, what's going on in the service of the Lord and in the people that meet in this place. Oh Lord, fill us with love. May we not keep books on one another, but may we be open and loving and kind in the kingdom of God. Now Lord, glorify Thyself as we wait in Thy presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.